Registration is now open for the 2018 Apologetics Canada Conference. The conference is located in beautiful Abbotsford, British Columbia on March 2nd and 3rd. We have another amazing lineup of speakers. Get all the details and register at apologeticscanadaconference.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Apologetics Canada podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Terry Crosby.
All right. Terry, you have something for us today.
Yeah, I do. Steve.
Yes.
You realize in 2.5 weeks it's Christmas Day.
Uh-huh. This one really snuck up on me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Me too. I couldn't believe how quick December came. Do you have any traditions in your family, your wife and kids, or your family
family? Yeah, my family, as in like my brother and sister, my mom or whatever. In Korea, Christmas is more of it's not a family holiday. Really? So it's more like another Valentine's Day in December. Like you spend it with your boyfriend, girlfriend, coworkers, and things like that. I don't really have a tradition in my immediate family, but if you're talking like my wife and children, we're still in the process of developing something. But the last couple of years, what we've done is watch the nativity story or something like that and read through the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah.
Well, not through the whole gospel, just the nativity story.
Your kids are going to be like chomping at the bit to get their presents.
Yeah, for sure. You got to sit there for the next couple of hours.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I have some bizarre Christmas traditions. In Catalonia, Catalonians, there's quite a few of them. I'm just going to read a few.
Mm-hmm.
Catalonians have this Tio de Nadal, otherwise known as the pooping log. Decorated with a face and blanket, on Christmas Eve, the log is placed halfway into the fire and beaten with sticks.
I don't even know what to make of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's more to it, but that's all I got here. So if you want to look it up, that sounds like an interesting thing. In Norway, there's no cleaning on Christmas Eve. All brooms are safely hidden away in case they're stolen by witches and evil spirits.
Oh, interesting.
Have you heard this one? In Japan, advertising can be incredibly powerful thanks to the campaign in 1974. Many Japanese families eat at KFC on Christmas Eve. This is a thing. I don't know if you've come across that. Like, it's serious. Like,
no, I've never heard of it, actually.
It's called Kentucky at Christmas. That was a campaign at that time.
Yeah.
Venezuela, attend mass in the run-up to Christmas. However, the residents have developed a strange tradition, journeying to mass on roller skates.
Roller skates?
Now, I think we need to bring roller skates back. Just that's my opinion. But I love roller skating back in the, back then.
Back then. I love that you were so vague about that just now.
One last one. Germany hides a pickle in the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve. The first child to discover it in the morning receives a small gift.
Oh, pickles.
So if you guys have any traditions out there you want to write in comments, we'd like to hear them. Bizarre ones.
All right. Well, that was interesting. Maybe I should start hiding some pickles in my Christmas tree when I get home. So let's jump right into today's topic. Now, you may have heard about the incident coming out of Wilfrid Laurier University in Ontario involving the TA Lindsay Shepherd. Now, if you're not very familiar with the story, basically what happened is that Lindsay Shepherd, in one of her classes during one of her tutorials where they were talking about how grammar impacts society, so on and so forth, she showed a video clip of a debate from the show The Agenda with Steve Paikin, a moderate kind of a show, as Lindsay Shepherd describes it, where Jordan Peterson and some other scholars were discussing the issue of gender-neutral pronouns.
And Jordan Peterson has been in the news a lot over this last year with regards to the pronouns.
Especially with Bill C-16 and amendment to the criminal code. Now, if you're not familiar with Bill C-16, it's already received royal assent back in June, which means it's now law. And what this bill did was to amend the criminal code. The criminal code originally said that you can't discriminate against people based on their religion, ethnicity, sex, so on and so forth. Now with Bill C-16, they added gender identity and gender expression. And part of the concern there was that misgendering can be a crime. So, for example, somebody at work says, you know, I'm going to identify myself as a man now, and so I'd like you to use the pronoun he. Now, if I tell her, actually, I think you're a woman, so I can't in good conscience use that pronoun that you chose for yourself, that's misgendering, and that now is criminal. So Jordan Peterson came out and said, this is compelled speech. It's one thing for the government to stop you from saying certain things, but it's a whole another ball game for the government now to put words in your mouth. Now, this is compelled speech. You must say these things. Now, that's a different story, right?
Yeah.
He got a lot of media exposure over this, and that showed the agenda with Steve Paikin, where he was debating over this issue with other people. Now, Lindsay Shepherd took a four-minute clip of that and played it during class. Now, she showed this as a way to facilitate a discussion without taking sides as a TA. But then she received an email from the administrator summoning her to a meeting where she was told an officer from the Diversity and Equity Office will be present. Sensing that something is wrong here, Lindsay Shepherd actually recorded the whole meeting on her computer, and then she released the recordings through media outlets. So this sparked the discussion again about freedom of speech, freedom of inquiry. So I'm going to play for you a little clip from that meeting. This clip is only about 3 minutes, and it should give you a gist of what went down there.
Like I said, it was in the spirit of debate.
Okay, in the spirit of the debate is slightly different than being like, okay, this is a, like a problematic idea that we maybe want to unpack.
But that's taking sides.
Yes.
Like, it's taking sides for me to be like, oh, look at this guy. Like, everything that comes out of his mouth is BS, but we're going to watch anyway.
Okay. So I understand the position that you're coming from and your positionality, but the reality is that it has created a toxic climate for some of the students.
How many?
It's great that...
Ooh, like how many?
Okay.
One?
May I speak?
I have no concept of like how many people complain, like what their complaint was. You haven't showed me the complaint.
Yes, I understand that this is upsetting, but there's also confidentiality matters.
The number of people is confidential?
Yes. Do you see where like how this is not something like that's intellectually neutral that is kind of up for debate? This is the Charter of Rights and
but
Freedoms.
But it is up for debate.
But, I mean, you're perfectly welcome to your own opinions,
mm-hmm.
but when you're bringing it into the context of the classroom, that can become problematic. And that can become something that creates an unsafe learning environment for students.
But when they leave the university, they're going to be exposed to these ideas. So I don't see how I'm doing a disservice to the class by exposing them to ideas that are really out there. And I'm sorry I'm crying. I'm stressed out because this to me is so wrong. So wrong.
Can I mention the gendered violence, gendered and sexual violence policy?
Do you understand how what happened was contrary to... Sorry, Andrea, what was the policy?
The gendered
and sexual violence policy. Like, do you understand how...
But, sorry, what did I violate in that policy?
So, gender-based violence, transphobia in that policy, causing harm to trans students by framing their identity as invalid or their pronouns as invalid.
Or something else.
Potentially invalid.
So I caused harm.
Which
and
is
violence.
Under the Ontario Human Rights Code, a protected thing, and also something that Laurier holds as a value.
Okay. So... by proxy of me showing you the video, I'm transphobic and I caused harm and violence. So be it. I can't do anything to control that.
Okay, so that's not something that you have an issue with? These are very young students. And something of that nature is not appropriate to that age of student because they don't
18?
Have... 18? Yes.
They're adults.
Yes, but they're very young adults. They don't have the critical toolkit to be able to take it apart yet. This is one of the things that we're teaching them. And so this is why it becomes something that has to be done with a bit more care.
In a university, all perspectives are valid.
That's not necessarily true, Lindsay.
Wow.
Wow.
When I first heard that, it was hard to hear. Mm. It really, really, like, did something to my soul.
Yeah. Why was it so hard to hear?
Well, it was the way he was talking to her, the accusations against her, you know, and even calling her, through what she did, a transphobia. What she was trying to do was to get conversation going. And within a classroom itself, that's why I think we pay dollars to go to university, is to learn. And it seems like they're squashing that ability within that academic circles.
I found it really interesting that, you know, it just at the end of that clip, it just says everything, right? All perspectives are valid in a university.
Yeah.
Meaning that it's all up for debate. And yet here is Professor Rambukkana, her supervising professor, as far as
the ones that teach classes.
Yeah. Saying, actually, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Like, really, in a university,
yeah,
there are certain ideas that you can't bring up for debate. And I agree with Lindsay Shepherd. That is so wrong. I mean, what is a university without the freedom to inquire?
It's been troubling how this has developed within the university. I mean, just last year, I think Jordan Peterson was trying to give a lecture at University of Toronto. Mm. And a group of students came in there banging cowbells and drums. Mm-hmm. Just to silence him, basically, right into the auditorium where he was. He tried to go outside, and they followed him.
That's suppression of speech,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we've been seeing this sort of thing happen down in the U.S. too. Like, for example, Brown University, right, where students basically occupied the dean's office. And in their words, they were not interested in having a conversation. I mean, this is what our universities have come to, and that is really concerning. In fact, a university without the freedom of inquiry, as far as I'm concerned, is as good as dead. Because then what you have are these diploma mills that dole out degrees saying, you have now successfully completed the indoctrination process. You have assimilated into this groupthink. You know, I find it interesting, the same group of people that criticized Christians, especially evangelical Christians, for being anti-intellectual are often the same ones that do these sorts of things, where if there's dissent of opinions, then they come down on this heavy-handed like this. I find that really ironic.
Yeah. We certainly have lost our way in civil discourse within the university and even without, you know, just in our regular lives, going about each day. But we all have that right to hold our opinions, and strongly, but we also have a duty to listen to others' opinions and allow them to voice their opinions as well.
That's the key thing, right? It's such a lost art these days, the art of disagreement.
I mean, the world is full of opinions.
Yeah.
Full of opinions, right? Are we going to get our backs up every time somebody speaks their own opinion?
Just from a Christian perspective, too, I think because we're all made in the image of God, there are certain things there are certain rights that we're entitled to, things like right to life, right to, and so on and so forth. And I think one of the things that I would argue as part of that image of God, that human right that we inherit from it, is that freedom of expression and the freedom to hold an opinion without being persecuted for it. I think it's, shall we say, dehumanizing, for example, for me to persecute you and shut down what you have to say because I just don't like what you have to say.
Yeah, the question for me right now, I mean, you know, is the legislation that they're bringing in going to be effective for the discourse of competing ideas? I mean, for the government itself, it seems like they're set up to protect us in different ways from harm. When it comes to legislating almost subjective phrasing.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because in the recording, you heard harm being mentioned.
Right.
Right. That you created, Lindsay Shepherd created this toxic climate, and now she brought harm to trans students at the university.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean by harm?
Yeah.
This is the tricky part, because let's say, you know, you punch me in the face. There is objective harm in that, right?
Right.
But there's the subjective experience of harm.
Yeah.
And that's the tricky part. How are you going to police that?
How are you defining that?
Yeah, because you just can't, other than taking that person's word for it.
Yeah.
And so when you are trying to police the subjective experience of anything, really, but subjective experience of whatever this harm may be, now the power to police it has to become really vast and arbitrary. It is arbitrary because all you really need to go on is taking the person's word for it. Imagine the kind of power that it invests in a person, right? It's almost too much power, I think, where you, if there's anything that you don't like, right, and say, oh, I'm offended by this, I don't want this in this classroom. Now what you've done is not only have you shielded yourself from hearing these differing opinions that you don't like, you're also doing disservice to all these other students in the classroom who may have benefited from hearing differing opinions.
And it squashes any kind of interaction, because people feel on edge that anything they say could possibly put them
right
in jail,
well,
or suspended yeah from school, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
There's kind of discipline coming, right?
Yeah.
It has that chilling effect. In fact, I know some students, some university students who are, say, pro-life. I can tell you they don't feel free to talk about their pro-life views on a university campus, right? Depending on the kind of a place that it is.
One of the interesting things is she wrote an article for National Post.
Lindsay Shepherd?
Lindsay yeah Shepherd. Her views are put out in that article that she wrote for herself. She talked about communication bubbles in that article and the fact that we kind of stick with our own kind, mm-hmm, and that we don't go outside of that. I mean, it's even been more reinforced with social media these days. And I think sometimes as Christians, we might be guilty of that as well, staying mm-hmm within our inner bubble, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But it happens with other groups as well.
Right, because that's the problem, isn't it? Because when you are within your own bubble and that's all you know, what do you know about people on the outside, so to speak, outside of that bubble? Well, you will probably make a lot of assumptions. Just by the nature of it, you only get sort of part of the story, and then you kind of paint with this broad brushstroke, this is what these people are like. So for example, in that audio recording, if you listen to the rest of it, the full thing is like over 40 minutes long. And in it, Professor Ramakana talks about Jordan Peterson as alt-right. I'm thinking to myself, have you gone outside of your bubble and actually listened to what Jordan
right
Peterson has to say?
Yes.
Because if
yeah
you listen to his stuff, he's not alt-right. When Jordan Peterson was just gaining popularity, he was at this free speech rally at U of T, University of Toronto. And after that, I saw this video of students just kind of coming down on him, right? And they're challenging him left, right, and center. And this one guy, in a kind of a really annoying way, asked him, hey, Peterson, what do you think about all these neo-Nazis showing up at your rally? Of course, you know, the implication is that, hey, you know, your views are, so you're alt-right kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
To which Jordan Peterson, he had this kind of look on his face. I'm like, I don't even know why you're asking me this, but so he said, well, I don't like it. What about it? right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said, well, it's not my fault that some of my views align with theirs, right? And I think that's key, because just because you share something in common with another person in terms of your, say, worldview or whatever opinions that you hold, doesn't mean that you are all in the same group. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, like I'm a pretty staunch pro-life guy. Okay, you know who else is pro-life? Mormons.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm a Mormon?
Yeah.
No.
No, you're not a Mormon.
Thank you for affirming that. It's the same thing. I mean, goodness, by that logic, we would say that, you know, Christians and Muslims, they believe in the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because they're both theists.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness.
It was interesting how they was trying to link her up with Jordan Peterson in that meeting, basically asking her, are you a student of his? That kind of thing, right? You know, kind of putting her on that side of the alt-right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she comes from Burnaby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was a student at SFU. Simon Fraser University, wasn't she?
Yeah, political science, communications.
Communications, yeah.
Honors with distinction. Like, this girl is a smart little cookie. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But it was interesting how they were trying to link her up with him.
See, that to me is just so... Because it's guilty by association, and what's that accomplishing? You're not clarifying anything. All you're doing is you are subduing somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? You're shutting down discussion.
Yeah. I mean, she would classify herself as a feminist, an environmentalist of a high sort.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she's very much into the social healthcare, medical, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in this whole interaction that has gone on over the last month and a bit, a lot of the people on the left have left her.
Right.
And a lot of people from the right are embracing her, but she's not even a right person right now.
Like, yeah,
she would still affirm a left stance.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting.
That's exactly it, right? Again, like, would we look at Lindsay Shepherd there and go, oh, she's a right winger? Well, no. There are certain things that she holds to that may be in line with what many people farther to the right of the political spectrum may, you know, happen to believe in together, right? They share that same belief, but I mean, that doesn't mean that she's therefore a right winger. So it's absurd to say that, you know, for example, Jordan Peterson is alt-right. All that to say, this is so jumbled up.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of slander really is being thrown about, saying, well, you know, Jordan Peterson is alt-right. You must be a student of his, so on and so forth. And this, to me, it doesn't clarify anything. It just shuts conversation down. And I think that's really dangerous.
I like what she said in her article. She said, as a proponent of viewpoint diversity, I find the idea of communication bubbles fascinating but troubling. I believe a willingness to explore new ideas, entertain a variety of perspectives, and confront information that challenges one's beliefs are critical values. Yeah.
Especially at a university.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, amen to that, Ms. Shepherd. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And one of the things that that I really benefited from when I was attending Biola University was, you know, you're in the apologetics program, so some people might think, oh, you only read Christian authors or what Christian authors have to say about, you know, certain things or whatever. That's actually not true. When I write a paper, I am expected to read both sides or even like multiple sides of an argument. Right, so I was actually, in a sense, trained in that a little bit, and I was really thankful for it, because I found that the more I read from the other perspective, so for example, on the existence of God, it made my points of view stronger, or sometimes it made things a little bit more nuanced, but at any rate, it just made me a better person in terms of what I know, right?
Yeah.
It strengthened my intellect, has strengthened my character.
I really appreciate the diversity we have in Canada. I really do. From all different religions, you know, viewpoints, cultures, that kind of stuff. I mean, the one thing I hope as Christians is that we learn about others, their point of view, and to know our position well enough to have dialogues with them. I hope that forces the Christian to do that, honestly.
You've mentioned a number of times before that one of the first things that we have to do when we're talking to First Nations people is to listen.
Yeah.
Right? Listen. I mean, people are not really interested in having a conversation with you when you are not interested in listening to them. And I think that's a word of
caution.
That should
be a critical value as well.
Yeah. Especially for a Christian, I would say.
Yes.
I would argue because it shows people respect and people ought to be respected for who they are. Namely, that they're made in the image of God. So the least you can do is give them a listening ear. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, I think, in living in a democratic society, but especially for Christians who hold to the idea of this vast human value that comes from the image of God. So I think, I mean, there's some thoughts there. This incident is still developing, it seems to me, you know.
Yeah, she's on a speaking tour, that's for sure right now.
Yeah.
And I listened to a clip from her and Jordan Peterson on Louder with Crowder. Have you heard of that podcast before?
Well, I know Louder with Crowder, and I've watched a number of the episodes, and I find it just...
He's a loud man.
The title is apt, let's just say that. Louder with Crowder.
Yeah.
And he's just really outspoken kind of a guy. Lovely guy, I think.
He's
just really in your face.
Yeah. But I've come to appreciate Lindsay, honestly, with her spirit of, she has, you know, she's intelligent. You know, she is looking to do the right thing, I think. And even on that interview, after she had left the podcast, she had to go catch a plane. Mm-hmm. Jordan Peterson said she is a formidable opponent. People shouldn't be messing with her almost, right?
Yeah.
She has some great things to say. You guys, yeah, look her up. Yeah, we'll do a lot of the show notes that you can go to and some of the articles.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll stop there for now, but send us your thoughts at info@apologeticscanada.com.
And your bizarre Christmas traditions.
Yeah, that's right. And feel free to send in your bizarre Christmas traditions as well. And thanks for joining us. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada. We'll come back next week with more stuff to think about. Ciao.
If you enjoy and appreciate the AC podcast, show us some love on iTunes. Please consider leaving a review. It helps us keep doing what we're doing.